It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
This has been a lethargic effort.
Listen, you got to come out and play with some energy. And if those guys are out there not playing with energy, you got to pull them out. When you step out on the court against the Charlotte Hornets, this is a team that, you know, that has struggled this year. They lost games coming in. And these are the teams that the Bulls have lost to every single time this year. But they can get up for Golden State. They can get up for Boston. They can get up for Atlanta. I don't know. Again, I hope that this team is not saying, hey, when we get Lonzo Ball back, we're going to be a different team.
I think that discussion is out of the window.
Yeah, he's not walking through that door anytime soon. Yep. I mean, you don't know when he's going to come back, if he's going to come back. And if that's what they're waiting on, like, we know we get Lonzo back, we're a different team. It's going to take Lonzo a while
15, 20 games, at least, to get into
some kind of playing shape and playing condition. You can't worry about if you got Lonzo.
Great stuff as always with Stacey King and Adam Amin, that audio from NBC Sports Chicago. He also is the host of the hilarious and insightful Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast, which you can find on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast. Stacey King with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Stacey, thanks for the time, man. That was ugly again last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very unfortunate. You know, it's becoming a theme right now with this team, you know, playing down to the level of competition. It's very frustrating, especially, you know, going into the second half of the season where every one of these games are going to be so important down the stretch.
Why do you think they play down to their opponents?
I just think it's a lack of focus. I think it's, you know, looking at a team and, you know, thinking that, hey, you know what, they're missing this player, that player, or their record, and we're better than them, so we should just be able to show up and, you know, win games. And they're not good enough to do that. Let's just be honest. It's you know, they're not good enough to do that. It's been proven this year. You know, they're losing to these types of teams, which is very frustrating because if you go back to last season, it was complete opposite. They would beat all the teams under 500 and then lose to the good teams. This year, they're beating all the good teams and losing to the teams under 500.
If the issue is focus, is that an issue of coaching?
You know what? I mean, you could point a lot of different directions. At the end of the day, I always tell people this. It's like, you know, the coach, Billy Donovan, is a good coach. You know, he's not out there rebounding, shooting, you know, doing the things the players are expected to do. These players get paid a lot of money to go out there and perform, and they're not performing. I think where you have to point, you know, you have to point to Billy's direction is if those guys are not doing their job, you got to pull them out. If they're not coming out there with the energy that they need to start games, which we've seen, you know, sometimes they've gotten off to really slow starts in the first and third quarter, which are two important parts of the game. You got to pull them out. There's a lot of guys over there that are hungry. You know, if I'm gonna lose the guys playing hard. And I think that's where it falls on Billy, is to say, hey, look, if you're not ready to play tonight, come sit down next to me, and then I'll get somebody out there who will.
So who do you want to see more of?
Well, I mean, Andre Drummond. I mean, they could have used him last night. You know, you could have. You know, I want to see the rookie Dalen Terry a little bit. I mean, this is the first round pick. I mean, the kid comes out there, he competes, he plays hard. You know, there's some things that he can do that can definitely help you. You know, you're missing Javonte Green's energy, which is a big blow for the Bulls, because this is a kid that comes out there and he plays like Caruso. You know, they both, those guys lay it on the line. They dive it on the floor. They make you play hard. But I definitely thought like Drummond should have played last night. I don't know what his situation was, why he didn't play. And sometimes he's in and out of the lineup. And that was a game last night that they had big guys out there. It wasn't like they had a small lineup for Charlotte. that he could have came in, especially against the kid from Duke, you know. So, you know, but again, you know, that's why they get paid the big bucks.
Stacey King with us from NBC Sports Chicago, the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. I said at the top of the show last night, I mean, there have been a lot of bad losses. That felt like the low point because after the Pacers loss, which was a bad loss, they at least seemed pissed. They said there was a players-only meeting after the game. They said they had to, you know, eradicate it and fix it and all that stuff. And then they blew a lead and lost to a team by, what, 15 that only has 14 wins on the season? I thought last night was the low point of the season. Would you agree or disagree?
I thought that Indiana was really the worst loss. You know, clearly in command, dominating, just having their way with a really good Indiana team, even though they had came in struggling. You know, Indiana was in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
And they've been above the Bulls all season long. And to go out there and dominate and have such probably one of their best first halves that they've had all season in complete control, to come out in the, you know, second half and look like a totally different team and get dominated, that was, to me, that was the worst loss. Because I kind of expect, because I've been watching this team, you know, all year long, that there would be a letdown against, you know, the Hornets, because that's been their MO, is that they play down to the level of competition. So did I expect them to beat the Hornets? Yes, exactly. They have more talent. But would it have shocked me if they would have lost? Because I've seen it all year long. But that loss to Indiana was devastating, because, you know, that was a team, you know, first of all, the Bulls were coming in with a little momentum. They're catching all the teams that are in front of them. They were only like four and a half games out of the sixth spot. So as you see, these games are important, because now you're moving from being in a play-in situation to actually having a position in the playoff race. And you would think that would be the motivation enough for this team to come out the rest of the season and play with a sense of urgency, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, if they would have won both those games, Indiana and Charlotte, they'd be sitting 500 right now. As it stands, they're 22 and 26, and the trade deadline is now less than 2 weeks away. What do you expect to happen?
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, that's, there's people that get paid a lot of money to making those decisions. I just go by what I hear, what I read. It doesn't look like they're going to do anything. And, you know, just, you know, listening to, you know, from people in the front office saying that, I, you know, me personally, like, you know, it's tough, because, like, there's no way in the way I look at it, you have three quality players in DeMar, Zach, and Vooch. Those are three, you know, three all-star players. I know Vooch hasn't been on the all-star team since he's been in Chicago, but he was a mainstay in Orlando. So you technically have three all-stars on your team, and you should be much better than what your record is. I mean, last year, you know, the team almost won 50 games, and you were encouraged by, you know, going that the step that they took to get to that point. And now season two, you expected them to be somewhere at least close or better, because they've added Dragic, they added Drummond, so they improved their bench. So you expected a little bit more out of this team, and it's been a little bit disappointing. But, you know, I always tell people, if you look at Boston last year, Boston in the first half of the season absolutely was terrible. You know, terrible team chemistry. You know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum had a hard time playing with one another, not knowing who's the man, what role I'm supposed to play. They're going to trade Marcus Smart. The coach didn't, you know, maybe should fire the coach. And then all of a sudden, the second half, they were the hottest team, you know, in the NBA. And I kind of thought the Bulls were really trending that way, you know, after that Minnesota game, because it seemed like they figured it out. They had their team meeting, aired some things out, and they played that way. And then all of a sudden, you know, it started creeping its ugly head back the way they've been playing all season long. But enough of the talks, enough of the meetings, you know, it comes down to just getting out there doing it. Because, you know, you just get tired of hearing that, like, well, we got a team meeting and we talked about this. And, you know, or they say, you know, they're disappointed in the way they play. And it's like, well, if you're disappointed in the way you play, then stop playing that way. I mean,
right.
Simple. You know, stop talking about it. I would prefer not to hear about it. Just go out there and show me.
So, you know, you mentioned the three big guys, right? Vooch and DeMar and Zach. My read on it is, you know, Zach and DeMar are ISO guys. Vooch is a great facilitator. They're all offensive first pieces. And it just feels like the puzzle pieces are not very complementary to each other, but they all would be in a better, could be in a better situation if they were in a different situation. But together, it just doesn't work. Is that a fair read, or why do you think it doesn't work?
Well, I think it doesn't work because you don't have a point guard. It worked very well last year when you had Lonzo. You know, Lonzo was a facilitator. Lonzo had the ball in his hands, getting everybody more efficient shots, getting him in their offense, getting in their transition, controlling pace. This is a huge blow losing Lonzo. You lose that piece because you go back to last year, you know, Zoe had the ball in his hands, bringing the ball up the floor. And also he was a 40-plus 3-point shooter. There wasn't a lot of isolation basketball. Isolation started in the second half of the season because they had to make the adjustment because they had no replacement for Zoe. So then the ball was in Zach's hands a lot more. The ball was in DeMar's hands a lot more. So therefore you were in much more isolation. And if you go back to last year, that second half of the season, that didn't do well. I mean, we lost a lot of games going into the playoffs. You know, we kind of limped into the playoffs playing that way. And we've kind of gotten back to that. And having Zoe, people don't realize how important he is to this team. You know, this is a guy that it's like missing three people. You know, he's that kind of player. I mean, you hear he's got the respect of everybody in the league as one of the elite point guards in the NBA. You know, he's 6'6". He rebounds. He defends. You know, he makes your offense go. He doesn't have to look for shots. He runs the offense. He takes what the defense gives you, and he keeps everybody happy. And you just don't have that, you know, this year. You know, you got Io as the point guard. I think his growth has been stunted because he defers to the older guys. You know, the one thing I would have loved to see is that, you know, just put, you know, Goran Dragic out there and let him start the games because he's really a true point guard. And he's kind of like Zoe in a sense as far as controlling the tempo and getting the teams where they're supposed to be and getting guys easier shots. But they've been trying to maintain his minutes and not give him a lot of minutes. But that's been a huge, huge area of this year, not having Zoe and not being able to you know, get stuff to compensate that loss.
Why is that such a – it seems like such an obvious concept. Like, don't let the ball stick, share the ball, move the ball, don't do the ISO stuff, and everyone will get their turns over the course of 48 minutes. And I agree completely. Like, that's what a great point guard does. That's what Lonzo helped with so much. But, like, DeMar's a smart guy. Zach's been playing basketball his whole life. Why is that such a difficult concept for the non-point guards to understand?
Well, because then guys put it on their shoulders to do too much. It's like, well, I gotta do this to help us win. And no one on this team is selfish by any means. They all get along. They all, you know, I'm around them every day. There's not a selfish person on this team. And so to the outsider who looks in, when you see ISO ball, you think selfish play. But it's more so as guys trying to do too much. Guys saying, okay, you know, this team went on an 8-0 run. Now I got to take over and try to bring us back because that's what they relied on so much last year in the second half. If you remember, DeMar was like the king of the fourth.
Yep.
You know, anytime the Bulls, you know, were in trouble, he bailed them out in the fourth quarter with his play. And I think, you know, those guys do that. Now, just, you know, watching this team every day, they're much better, in my opinion. I mean, like I said, I'm just sitting in the cheap seats, is when they run the ball through Vooch. And that's not just getting Vooch posting up and scoring. It's, you know, getting Vooch the ball where he can make plays for other people and be a facilitator because he's so unselfish when he gets the ball. Double teams comes, he makes the right decisions, you know, and he makes the right reads, and then guys get easier shots. Zach LaVine is one of the best catch and shoot, and you look at his stats, go check his stats. He's one of the best catch and shoot shooters in the game, you know, but you look where he gets a lot of his shots. Everything's off one dribble, pull up, step back threes, really difficult contested jump shots. Put him in positions where he can come off screens, turn, catch and shoot like a Klay Thompson, a Steph Curry. When you're shooting almost 45% on catch and shoots, like you would think that you would run a lot of those kind of plays for him.
Yeah.
So there's ways you can change the way they're playing. It's just you just got to do it.
You mentioned the cheap seats. You were up high. What was that?
Yeah.
What? Charlotte's got to take better care of you.
You know what? I mean, that's kind of where the league is going now. You know, with the seats because they sell those seats where the announcers sit. You know, for $5,000 a seat in some cities, but. Charlotte, to be honest with you, Charlotte's probably one of the best places that we sit high. I think we sit in like 8 or 9 cities where we sit high. Charlotte's probably the best one because we sit center court and we're not so super high up. The only thing about sitting up high is that you don't really get to hear you know, what the coaches are saying, what the players are saying, what the officials are saying. That's why I like to be on the court, because I can see and hear things that, you know, maybe the average fan can't on TV, and you know what's coming, you know what they're trying to get out of a certain situation, which you can, which I can explain, or any other analyst can explain to the viewers what's going to happen, what they're looking for on this particular play.
How often do the coaches and players interact with you and, like, hear what you're saying?
No, I don't interact with them at all. I mean, unless they're hearing me, you know, during their meetings when they're watching tape, I don't talk to you know, the players or the coach during the game at all. You know, I got a job to do, and they got a job to do. So the last thing they want to do is hear me, because they might be mad at me sometimes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just thinking, like, you're you know, in the United Center, you guys are right there. Like, it would seem impossible for them not to hear you and vice versa.
Well, you got to remember, there's 20,000 people screaming. So, yeah. I mean, unless they got a Superman hearing ear, they're not going to hear me. They're going to be listening to 20,000 other people. You know, I think at the end of the day, you know, we got a job to do, both me and Adam, you know, and we're fair. We're fair to both teams. You know, we're not, we call the way we see it. And, you know, that's what makes us one of the best, you know, guys out there. And so if they're listening, they're probably listening during videotaping when they're going over tapes and stuff. And you got to remember, I'm coming from a lot of different angles. You know, I'm not just coming as a player. You know, I actually coached for 5 years. I was head coach in the CBA. So I've got the coaching perspective. I got the player's perspective. So, you know, I've got a lot of different, you know, angles to look at. So that's what, you know, kind of helps me in my, you know, being an analyst, is that I have so many different views, and I know what the coach is thinking. I know what the player's thinking, and I can put it all together and be very informative to the viewers.
Well, you guys do great work, and at this point, you are the best part of watching Bulls basketball, Stacey.
So, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You very much.
Yeah, keep it up with you and Adam Amin, and the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast is absolutely hilarious. I've heard probably 30, 40 episodes at this point. It's great stuff, man.
So, thanks.
Yeah, it's really, really entertaining. So thank you for the time and coming on the show, man. Really appreciate you.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, there we go. That's Stacey King, Bulls basketball. You can check him out, NBC Sports Chicago, the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. The guy's got knowledge. He's got entertaining opinions. Normally, I'd like to just do stories and jokes with that guy, but this team is bad.
Booty cheeks.
They are bad right now. And it's like, even when they're up 10, you're like, oh, it'll be fine. It's not fine. Just doesn't ever seem to be fine. Want to talk Bears as it relates to Championship Sunday, but actually with some specifics. Especially with these teams in the NFC Championship game, the teams in theory the Bears would have to go through, coming up on The Score.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.